if Bruce is on, I don't need to check if, Mr. Scott's on the line, we have him here in person. But it's, now 11:47, I'll call the, Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission, meeting to order for Monday, March 28th. If we all rise for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. So we had number two, I guess, introducing, Mr. Scott, but we've kind of went through that. I don't know if there's anything else you want to share or,
Having me here is wonderful to be here.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to attend in person. You know, it's nice to get to meet you, you know, after hearing you, you know, on either calls or on the line or, you know, in Zoom calls. So yeah, again, thanks for being here and everything that you do for us. All right. Any changes or additions to the presented agenda? All right. Hearing none, we'll move into the approval of the consent agenda, including the minutes from March 14th, 2022, and the approval of bill payments in the amount of just under $1.6 million. Manager Hare, anything you'd like to point out there?
Sure. Thank you. Chair Erickson. On page three, I'll point out our power supply invoices here again for new commissioner, Commissioner Kadar here. Our power supply is our largest budget item, and we receive our power from three different companies. And our bill listing today, we have our four different companies. And our bill listing today, we have three of those companies are listed here. On page five, towards the bottom is Missouri River. You can see that's $317,000. That includes our hydropower from the federal government, which is identified as WAPA, WAPA, and it's also our least cost resource for power supply as well. And then transmission is covered through Missouri River, as well as all our needs above and beyond our power supply contracts come from Missouri River. Then if you go to the next page, second from the bottom, CMPAS, Compass, it's referred to as. That's our hydro contract out of Wisconsin, WIPI, we refer to that as. So that's three, Missouri River, WAPA, and WIPI. And GRE, we had last meeting, and that one was a little over $400,000, $425,000 roughly. So that makes up our largest expense in our budget, is our power supply. And when I say our largest supply, it makes up roughly 50% of our budget. And then the remainder of the highlights, again, are the capital items that are in our budget that we are working on and for those projects. That would conclude the items that I would like to point out, Jerry Erickson.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Okay, and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Beth, roll call.
Certainly. Commissioner Erickson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Kadar?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
That passes. All right, next we have our 2021 audit report and financial statement presentation by our Justin McGraw from Conway, Duth & Schmeezing.
All right, thank you very much for having me here. Like I mentioned earlier, my name is Justin McGraw. I'm your auditor with CDS. And I'm going to cover today the Commission's 2021 audited financial statements, as well as your a letter from us to you at the Commission level on how the audit went and any recommendations we have going forward. I think I have a few different products you guys are given. One is your financial statements. One is your, we call it the management letter. And then the other one is the presentation format that I'm going to follow today. All the information I'm going to cover today is in your financial statements themselves and that management letter. So if you're looking for more detail and more information, it's a great place to start. And I'll, as always, if you have any questions as I'm going through it, please stop me and ask them. Here's what we're going to cover today is our agenda. Pages two and three here. This is an explanation of what our independent audit report is, the standards we use, the intent of our auditor's report, which is to determine if your financial statements are free from material misstatement, can be relied upon for decision-making purposes, as well as gaining performance of the commission. So if you don't take anything else away from my presentation today, just know that, in our opinion, your financial statements are free from material misstatement and can be relied upon for gauging performance of the commission. Also, there are a few other things in your financial statements that you probably, if you had a chance to look at them, you saw management discussion and analysis. This is an opportunity for your team here to give in more of a narrative format some of the changes that you saw during the year within the commission, as well as some benchmarking statistics where the commission stands against other utility commissions in the region. So moving into the numbers, here's your statement of net positions, the overall balance sheet of the commission. I'll start at the top there. Your current assets, these would be items like cash, accounts receivable, prepaid expenses. You saw an increase in the current year in your current assets. A lot of that is due mainly to the increase in your cash balances. That increase in cash, looking at your cash flow statement, you'll see it's really your operating revenues rose faster than or outpaced, I should say, your increases in operating expenses. So your operations are being self-sustaining. And one new item you may have seen, if you've been on, well, Carol, I thought you've been on a commission a little bit, with your financial statements, is we added in this year a divisional balance sheet and divisional cash flow statement. So for the water and electric, you can see those items individually to see how each one of those divisions is performing and where they're sitting at as of the end of the year. Your non-current assets, you had an increase in your non-current assets. These are typically items that are capital in nature, so improvements, buildings, equipment, those types of items. Construction in progress is another item. And that increase is largely driven by your increase in construction in progress. Some of the bigger ones are the Priam substation expansion for the electric fund, and then the water treatment plant improvements for the water division. moving to the bottom half, liabilities. These are accounts payable, the routine bills, long-term debt, and a few other GASB-related items like your net pension liability, your OPEB liability, or other post-employment benefit liabilities. One new item we had this year was unearned revenue. These were amounts that there was a few different items in that unearned revenue amount. There were rent payments made to the commission in 2021 for rent that was for the fiscal year of 2022. So we show those amounts as unearned on your financial statements, as well as third parties prepaying for work orders that have yet to be completed. So they gave you the cash, and now you just have to go out and do the work, whether it be repairs, maintenance, those types of things. So there are two new items we saw this year that we didn't have last year. Your long-term liabilities, so with the commission not having any debt, this is primarily your net pension liability, your other post-employment benefit liability, which is health insurance, and compensated absences, so vacation, sick leave, those types of items. You see here your pension liability, which is probably your biggest one on all those long-term liabilities, did decrease in the current year. That's due to largely PERA's performance, so PERA, the pension plan the commission participates in. Did perform very well as of 6/30/21, which is the measurement date of that liability. And then there's some changes in the assumptions the actuaries are using on how they plan that liability to increase over the years. They decrease some of their percentages, which decreases your overall liability. And then the bottom, very bottom there, your net position. This is the overall, if you could sell your assets and pay off all your debts, this is kind of what's left over. You'll see that you had an increase in your net investment in capital assets. This is your capital assets less any debt associated with it. That increase is largely due to some of the capital additions you made during the year, outpacing your depreciation expense on the assets that are already in service. So your overall net position, you can see you had an increase in 21, and it kind of continues that trend we've seen over the last several years with a steady increase, planned increase, over the overall net position of the commission. And we'll break down or go over the breakdown of those classifications on the next slide. Here's a visual of that net position and what kind of makes it up. you can see here that net investment in capital assets did increase overall, but as a portion of the overall net position of the commission, it makes up a smaller amount in 21 than it did in 2020 because of some of those increases we saw in your cash balances. Revenues and expenses. So moving into the activity of the commission, you can see here your utility revenues experienced an increase in 2021. You know, on the water side, we saw the increase in the water rates reflected in the increase in your revenues. I think it was a 20% increase in rates, 24% increase in revenues. So between the rates and the usage, you saw an increase there. On the electric side, you saw an increase, and you sold more power. I mean, that's what we're seeing, about 8 million more kilowatt hours sold by the electric division in 2021 than in 2020. Along with that, the types of users using that power, their class, residential, commercial, industrial, saw some changes in there because they have different rates. That's going to have a different impact on the overall revenues of the division. Your operating expenses had a slight increase compared to 2020, but the composition of those expenses is kind of what changed the most. You know, you had a decrease in power production because you're producing less power. That was offset by an increase in the purchase power, like you were talking about with those vendors earlier, as well as there's some changes in the estimates for allocating customer service expense to break that out or segregate that from the overall admin and general expenses of the office here. So while your expenses did increase, the line item of those expenses are really where you're seeing those bigger changes. Looking at some non-operating items, operating income or other income, other expense, you did see a pretty significant decrease in your investment income in 2021 compared to 2020. That was at Bremer and your RBC banks. And that was largely due to unrealized losses on some of your investments. So while we recognize them in your financial statements, they're not realized until those investments were either to be sold or cashed in, I guess. And then you also saw a decrease in your miscellaneous income. If you remember last year, for those who were here last year, you got a large Missouri River dividend or refund, I guess. You didn't have that big refund in 2021. Moving on to the divisions individually, the electric division. So we got a slide that shows the kilowatt hours purchased versus what was generated, versus what was sold in 2021 and the prior 4 years. You can see that margin you've been able to maintain there between what you sold and what you purchased or generated. and that's really what you're using to pay the rest of your bills for the electric division. You know, that's what you need to fit your budget into as far as the other expenses of the division. So you're able to maintain that margin, and if you had a chance to look at the statement, you saw the increase in that position of the division overall. So that's really telling me that you get your rates set at a level to cover all your operating expenses. Revenue and cost of power, you can see there. This is the power purchase versus what you're able to sell to customers. So you can see what you paid for the purchase power versus the revenue that power brought back in to the electric division. And the overall net income of the electric division, again, in 2021 versus the prior 4 years. It's been pretty steady. You can see it's trending in the right direction. It's better to be going up than down. But there's a very, very healthy net income amount in 2021 and in the prior years.
Justin, can yes. I chime in here for just a bit?
Absolutely.
As long as Justin's on here, you're hearing from Justin about our financial condition here at utilities. I'd like to point out here again, too, in 2017, a lot of our net income trending that we're seeing there has to do with the decisions the commission has made back in 15, 16, and 17. Back in that time frame is when the decisions were made about the district heat, about the power plant, about transmission investments. We have not had any rate increases since 2015 here, so the impact, the net impact of those decisions is what we're seeing here. Back then, when we did the analysis and modeling of what would it look like with our different options, moving forward with different options, we elected the options that we are working with here today, but the net impact was somewhere conservatively $3 to $4 million. And you're seeing that here, the impact of that. We're pretty much pretty much on target with what our projections were back in 15-16 if we were to go forward with certain options. Yeah, it's realized.
There you go. Appreciate the contact, John.
Yeah, thank you, Justin.
All right, so that's the electric division. Moving on to the water division. Again, we kind of show a similar layout for the water division. We got a five-year trend here of overall cubic feet pumped versus sold. Again, you can see there what you pumped out and what you sold. And you know, that kind of gap in the middle is usually due to the line loss. Water system loss, I think for Minnesota, the EPA says 16% is probably average for this area. You've experienced 13 to 20%. Over the last 5 years, and this year you're at about 15%. So you seem to be right around that industry average for line loss. looking at your revenue versus the cost of production or to pump that water and get it into homes and businesses, you can see that impact of those increased water rates as it's trending upwards had on the system in 2021, as well as that increased efficiency and minimizing that line loss back down to a lower level. Again, what it costs to produce the or pump the water versus what you bring in for selling the water, that gap there is what is needed to fund the other all the operations, wages, maintenance, repairs, supplies, those types of items, as well as build up a reserve for future capital additions, capital replacements. And then the net income of the water division. So you had an increase in the current year. We kind of touched on it earlier. Part of it was due to the rates, and part of it was due to the increase in usage. I think what you're seeing here is kind of with that increase in rates, that's kind of maybe going to be your new normal unless you have large capital additions going on within the water division. I know you're looking at a water treatment plant, some projects there, but you should see once those water rates increases slow down, I guess, or cease, you should see this is probably where you're going to be going forward unless you decide to continue raising rates. In addition to the numbers of the commission, we also look at a few different other things, one of them being legal compliance with state statutes. We're happy to report we came across no issues with the compliance of the commission with state statutes. We look at things like contracts and bidding, long-term debt, disbursements, a few different other areas we look at. And when we come across that where there's no compliance issues, you tell those two things as auditors: one, that your team here knows what the laws are, and two, that they're being followed. So hats off to John and Andrew and Janelle for making all that happen. And everybody else here at the commission, I should say. And then another item we look at is the internal control of the commission, how financial information flows through from the time a bill comes in the mail to the time a check goes out in the mail. So we have two items here that if you've seen our presentation in the past, you know that they've kind of been there consistently. One is segregation of duties, limited segregation duties, and audited prepared financial statements. So with the audited prepared financial statements, you know, the product you have on your tablets, while it is something that we put together as your auditor, it's all derived from your financial information. We just have to disclose that the statements that you're looking at are a product of ours. And then limited segregation of duties. This is an item that is pretty common for an entity of your size. What we see there is all parts of a transaction we like to segregate who's doing what in that transaction with limited staff. That's not always possible. So this is more of an opportunity that I like to take and let you know at your level when you do see your board packet or your commission packet, that claims listing, you're another set of eyes, another check in that process. So please, you know, feel free to ask questions as much as possible to help mitigate any potential negative effects of having a smaller staff. And then the management letter. Moving on to the management letter, that's the other document you have, let you know how the audit went. Any disagreements we had with your team, we have to report there was none we couldn't resolve. And it's not just your staff that we work with as part of the audit. We work with your banks, we work with the county, we work with the city, and everybody was very helpful and getting us the information we needed so we could be here today and deliver this report. So we do appreciate everybody's involvement in that process. And then one new item that we have this year, it's more of a recommendation or an informational item, is GASB 87, the Government Accounting Standards Board, issued a new accounting standard related to leases. This is a change from what they had in the past. It changes the guidance on how to account for leases, whether it's an operating lease or a capital lease. That was the old way. Now they can basically have cut down the criteria to the lease goes beyond 1 year or if it's less than a year. This will change how you record and account for those leases, whether you have a lease asset or a lease liability, or whether you're a lessor in that transaction, you have a lease receivable and an unearned revenue amount. So while you don't have substantial leasing activity currently, if that were to be a financing option you were to use down the road, we just want to let you know that it could have an impact. You see some new items on your financial statements. So that's the big change in the government accounting world this year. And then lastly, here's my information. So if you have any questions or you're going through some of this stuff in your free time and you think, I wish I would have asked Justin this or that, feel free to call, email, or I am in the Litchfield office. So if you're ever driving to Litchfield, you stop in and say hi. So after that, that's all I have. So I'll open up to any questions that anybody might have right now.
Questions?
I thought we were going to go over all the numbers.
Well, there's a lot of them. I don't want to take too much of your time, but if you have any specific ones, let me know.
Okay.
All right. Well, it looks like we don't have any, and all right. Thank you again for presenting, and, you know, it's always nice working with you and CDS.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, you guys have a good meeting.
Thank you. And then I believe this requires a motion to accept the financial statements as presented. So all those in favor, say aye.
Okay.
Oh, not bad.
That's good. Yeah. I made a motion.
Okay. Now that there's been a motion a second, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye. Did a teleconference. Aye.
Oh, you have to do roll call. You're right.
For the motion, too. So I'll take it from there.
Bruce, track.
No, we're good. Commissioner Lammer.
Aye.
Baumgart.
Aye.
Muskie.
Aye.
Kadar.
Aye.
DeBleek.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Commissioner Erickson, before we move on, I'd like to point out one more item on the audited financial statement. Justin talked about the benchmarking. That is included if you open that up and scroll through it. You don't have to do it now. But you find the benchmarking for 2019 and 2020 compared to what the 2020 North Central Plains region is, and that data is collected by APPA. So it gives you a little better an idea how we stack up against the upper region, as Justin alluded to. So if you don't want to spend a lot of time looking through and reading everything that Justin put together there, it kind of gives you a snapshot on how we compare in the different categories.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to the general manager report, I'll hand this off back to you, John.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Erickson. The first item I want to mention there is our meeting with our legislative delegation. A week and a half ago, we thought we had meetings set up. I know I asked Beth to push out an email if anybody had time or was interested. You would have been more than welcome to go along. However, we were unable to get the meetings with the right individuals that we needed to, so those meetings did not take place. We're trying to reschedule them for April 19th. So if any of the commissioners are interested in going along, would like to go down and meet with our legislative delegation, you're more than welcome to do that. If you let Beth know, we'll put you on the list, and as we obtain more details, we'll let you know. And if you're interested, you're welcome to go along. Labor committee meeting, we're closely getting that set up. That'll be forthcoming here shortly. And the other item I'd like to point out is the Missouri River annual meeting. It's under future meetings, right under adjourned. We received notice that'll be May 11th and 12th. Missouri River typically, they hold two meetings a year. I'm guessing they're going to go back to that now that we're able to meet again. COVID's behind us. It would be the area meeting. So the annual meeting is 2 days. It starts at noon. It ends at noon. You would leave here roughly 7:30 in the morning, probably 7:38, somewhere in there, and you'd ride back about
4-H on the 12th. So you have 2 days into it. I'd strongly encourage the commission, if you're able to make that work, that you take that in. Otherwise, the area meetings, which is also, they're very informational, more of a condensed version of what you will receive at the annual meeting. And those meetings are usually in the fall, and they're one-day meetings. So usually they start like at 10 in the morning or at 2 o'clock approximately. So if you get encouraged, I would encourage you to take one or the other or both in if it meets your schedule and you'd like to learn more about where our power comes from and what we are doing to prepare for the future here, future power supply needs, and how we're transitioning over to, you know, to bring more renewables into our power supply mix. Other than that, that would conclude my updates unless there's additional questions, Commissioner.
Thank you. Any questions on
the legislative meetings? That going to be the one in April, or what is that going to be?
We tentatively have it set up for the 19th, so if we can get our meetings scheduled, it'll be on the 19th. We don't have times yet, but we probably leave fairly early in the morning and come back later in the evening. We probably meet with, if we can get them all set up, 6-7 of our legislators down there. We'd be meeting with the key committee chairs that would be carrying our request, our bill. We would be meeting with Lang and Baker. They're both on board. They both have introduced the bill on the House side and Senate side for our request for funding. So we hopefully we can have some success in following it through. That would be why we would go down and meet with our legislators, especially the chairs of the key committees, to talk about our needs, why we need them, why we need assistance. So.
All right. Before we adjourn, I just wanted to say, you know, just thank you to the staff and the commission for, you know, especially the staff with just all the hard work that they do throughout the year, you know, with the audit, just hearing how well it went and, you know, being in compliance and just all the hard work that goes into putting us in the position that we're in. I just wanted to say an extra thank you and how much we appreciate each and every one of you. And also just wanted to thank you, Mr. Scott, for attending in person today. To meet you and taking the time to come out. Other than that, if there's nothing else to come before the commission, I'd adjournment. And we are adjourned.